Hey, it's Kevin McCullough welcoming you back to Uncontainable, the podcast that is really built on loads and loads of uncontainable truth. We have access to the best archives of great teaching anywhere on planet Earth, and it's my joy to dig through them each week and find some useful nuggets just for you to apply to your life this week and hopefully cause you to be a little more interested in what may be a resource for you through our portal at oneplace.com and a number of other websites as related to the teachers that we feature here on Uncontainable. Today, a very tough subject matter, one that some people even doubt is real. You may have heard the term spiritual warfare and you may wonder, what on earth is that about? Well, Greg Laurie, who's up first, says, you're not alone. There's some people that have no clue what it's about, but he says and cautions, it's real, so think on truth.
Victor Hugo, the author of the classic Les Miserables, made this statement, quote, a good general must penetrate the brain of his enemy, end quote. Well, the devil is our enemy, so we want to penetrate his brain, meaning we want to know what he's up to. The Bible says we should not be ignorant of his strategy, so we need to be armed for spiritual battle. In this fight that we are called to fight. Here's something else you need to know. This battle does not become easier as you become more mature in your faith. You might think, oh, this is something only a young Christian goes through. As you get older in the Lord, you don't fight anymore. No, you may fight more and you may get hit in different areas, but the battle never stops. Now, some of you are thinking this, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not in any spiritual battle. I can't remember the last time I was tempted. I don't go through trials. And my question to you is, do you have a pulse? Maybe my question should be, are you actually a Christian? Because if you really are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to face resistance. You're going to face spiritual attack. And I want to talk to you now about how to win in this spiritual battle. So let's read again Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places or the supernatural realm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We'll stop there. There are six pieces of armor mentioned. The first three, the belt, breastplate, and shoes, were attached to the body and really never removed. The second three, the shield, the helmet, and the sword, were for specific purposes and methods of attack. So let's review quickly, then we'll talk about the pieces of armor we have not discussed. First, there is what we might call the utility belt of truth. The Roman soldier would wear a large belt that all of his equipment was attached to. The breastplate was attached to the belt, the sword and the sheath were attached to the belt as well. So it was a very important part of his whole getup, if you will. I mean, honestly, if you undid that belt, his little dress would fall down below his knees, and his breastplate would fall off, and his sword would drop to the ground. So it was a key part of armor. Now, it was not an offensive piece. You don't attack your enemy with your belt. You have better weapons for that, but you need it. It's essential. And what does the Bible say? It's the belt of truth. What does this mean? It means right at the outset, if we're going to prevail in the spiritual battle, if we're going to live successfully as a Christian, you must be truthful before God. In other words, not living a life of duplicity or hypocrisy or trying to live in two worlds. There are some Christians, some people in the church probably right here, right now, that you're living a lie. Hey, man, you got a good game going on. You put on a good show, but it's a performance, and it's not real because you're living a double life. You're doing things you should not do. Hey, if you don't have the belt of truth on, the rest of this armor isn't really going to matter. So we live truthfully before God.
So if this spiritual warfare stuff that we're talking about does exist, and we have to honestly acknowledge it in truth. And we wrestle with it. And some of us wrestle with it a lot, whether it's depression or circumstances or just fear. There's a lot that would fall into that category. Kay Arthur, our next teacher, who is heard on many radio stations across the country, says, you know what? You need to stay encouraged, because the issue is not whether or not it's real. The issue is not even if it's a relatively new idea. In fact, she goes way back into scripture and history to prove the point that everyone will face it on some level. This is Kay Arthur.
What you see is when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And do you know what's going to happen? Someday, beloved, the whole world is going to see that Jesus Christ is Lord. The whole world is going to bow the knee. The whole world is going to confess that there is no other God but Jesus Christ. And they're going to give obedience to Him. But when they see Him, what they're going to do is they're going to flee. I mean, they're going to absolutely flee. All right, so it says that the men of Israel and Judah, when they started to flee, the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Once again, they're following David's example. The enemy has to be dealt with thoroughly and completely. Now, remember, he's already been anointed for that, but this has not happened. And it won't happen for quite some time, because before he mounts the throne, he has to be thoroughly tested by God. And he will be thoroughly tested and he will pass the test. You've got to know, beloved, that when you believe in Jesus and when you follow him, it does not mean that everything in life is going to be easy. It's not going to be a piece of cake. Why? Because the whole world, 1 John 5:19, lies in the power of the evil one. Because we're in a warfare, as I've been telling you, because there are Goliaths that want to bring us down, that want to fight with us, that think that they can conquer us and think that they can defeat us. And if you and I don't follow these principles, you know what? They are going to get us on the ground. But we don't have to be on the ground. We can stand firm. That's what Ephesians chapter 4 is about when it talks about spiritual warfare, that we're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Our struggle is against the devil, and the devil wants to take us and pin us to the ground. I mean, it is a wrestling match that is not a put-on show like some of the wrestling matches you see. I mean, it's a big, big show. It's entertainment, but this is not entertainment. This is reality, and the enemy wants to struggle against us, and it means to wrestle someone to the ground, but we can stand firm.
I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't seem like we can stand. Sometimes it feels like we've been gut punched. Sometimes it feels like the circumstances around us are so overwhelming that if we have to face them one more day, we're just going to give up. And that's where we turn in our final highlight of this edition of Uncontainable. Because Pastor Philip DeCourcy wants us to understand that when we turn to God to talk to about the things that we are dealing with and that we are struggling with, we are not turning to a God who hates us, but rather someone that we truly, truly need, a Father who will take us into His arms. He shows us love. He shows us compassion. And really, we need to picture that person when we go before Him.
We should be unafraid in coming to God for our requests. You should not be, if you're a child of God, hesitant to pray to God, your Heavenly Father. Prayer is not like going into the office to ask a pay raise from a disgruntled and hard-boiled boss. You're going into the living room and you're getting up onto the knees of your Heavenly Father. You're looking into His face. He's smiling. He's holding you. You can hear His heartbeat for you, and you're asking your Father. Doesn't that make a difference? God's not a reluctant friend. In Luke 18, He's not an unjust judge. He's a Father who loves us and loves to love upon us. Secondly, if we want answers to our persistent prayers, we need to ask for good things from a good God who promises to give us good things. There is a qualification. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father give good things, or the Holy Spirit? God will answer our persistent prayers as long as we're asking Him for the right thing. And you and I must remember, if we haven't had an answer to prayer, it could be because God is indeed testing our faith. But beyond that, it could be because we're not asking for the right thing. No good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly. Therefore, if it's withheld, it's not good, because he doesn't withhold good things. Which reminds me that if the Lord does not want you to have what you have prayed for, then it is best that you don't have it. And here's the last thought. In the final analysis, we must trust God to give that which is best. When God gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us his best gift, because the Holy Spirit is God. Therefore, when God gave us the Holy Spirit, what did he do? He gave us himself. God gives his best. And if you're holding on, if pressing through, then you and I need to believe that while we wait, God intends to give us his best. Which reminds us, by the way, that if he doesn't give us what we ask for, it could be because he's going to give us what we should have prayed for in the first place, which is a greater thing. Listen to this prayer from a Confederate soldier. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might humbly learn to obey. I asked for health that I may do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I hoped for. Folks, pray on. If God is withholding what you've prayed for, it may not be good, but it may be good, and he's just testing your dependence and trust upon him, and he will give you that good thing in his time, because he's your friend and he's your father. And in fact, God may be bringing about a set of circumstances in your life because of the delay that will ensure that he gives you an answer to the prayer that you prayed, which is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That's our friend, and that's our Father. That's why Jesus taught us not to faint, but to pray.
Well, I hope that encourages you. And I hope that if nothing else, if you haven't given the prayer thing a try, if you don't really believe in spiritual warfare, just the fact that you listened and you consider the truth of what Greg Laurie and Kay Arthur and Philip DeCourcy all had for us today, maybe it will make sense to you a little bit down the road in the future. But that's why the Uncontainable podcast is here, so that if you do have questions, you can talk to us about them. And now we've got an email where you can do that, uncontainablepodcast@gmail.com. You can also now follow us on Twitter at UncontainablePC for the Uncontainable podcast. You can also get highlights of all of these messages and the messages in completion at our partners page, oneplace.com. And you can keep coming back to Uncontainable on this radio station's website where you heard about it, christianradio.com, or as I said, now on social media on Twitter, at UncontainablePC. Kevin McCullough, join me next time for more great teaching.